Welcome to the Food Matters Podcast. Hi, it's James here, and welcome to this special podcast edition, an interview with Ocean Robbins. I can't wait for you to hear the incredible insights he has to share on how powerful certain food choices are to help you prevent from chronic illness, such as cancer or dementia or Alzheimer's, or even just learning how to fuel yourself with the best food possible to feel amazing and to support the health of our earth and our planet. It's a fascinating conversation with somebody who I deeply admire, and his father as well, an incredible family, Ocean and John Robbins. He also talks about in this interview their Food Revolution Summit, which is an annual event that they've been running for the past 8 years, an incredible effort. This year, they're bringing together 26 incredible doctors leading the discussion in natural medicine, nutrition, GMOs, the effects that pollution and environmental chemicals can have on our body and health, and how to like minimize those effects, and what foods you can eat to really power and charge an incredible life. To find out more about this event, how you can join in for free, head to link.fmtv.com/foodrevolution. Once more, that's link.fmtv.com/foodrevolution. Enjoy this interview, and I'll see you in the next episode. Ciao for now. It is James here from Food Matters. We have some extra important news for you. Today, I'm going to be speaking to an incredible man, someone who is from a family of people that I adore deeply and respect their journey, their passion, their mission, and everything they've gone to create. Today, I'm speaking to the son of John Robbins, Ocean Robbins. And these two men have gone on to start a food revolution like no other. They've been doing something special for 8 years, which we're going to be talking about today, which is all about helping you take your power back, take your sovereignty back as a human being, by really focusing on how you can best nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and especially when it comes to the food that you eat. John Robbins is the sole heir, or was the sole heir, to the Baskin Robbins ice cream company, should I say. And he walked away from that path and said, I'm going to focus on how I can start a real food revolution and light people up when it comes to eating real food and helping them make better decisions for their health, so they don't have to suffer from the maladies of chronic disease that we're suffering from these days. And so my guest today is Ocean Robbins, his son, and we're going to be talking about the latest research around food, nutrition, when it comes to Alzheimer's, dementia, also diabetes, obesity, cancer, and what you can do to improve your health naturally. So here he is. I'm going to bring him in. Ocean Robbins, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm so happy to be with you, and everybody else is jumping in. Thank you so much for being with us right now. Yeah. You know, food is the foundation of health, but unfortunately in the modern world, it's also the foundation of disease. And what I find so exhilarating is how many people are stepping up, and you're here right now. So I believe you're one of them, and you're saying enough is enough. I don't want to go with the status quo. It might be typical to suffer from heart disease and cancer and type 2 diabetes and carry some extra pounds around the middle and feel like crap and struggle to sleep enough and feel stressed out and agitated and depressed. But it doesn't have to be normal, and it doesn't have to be your fate. And food can really help be a doorway out of suffering and misery and a doorway into the health you deserve. So that's why we're here. And obviously, that's what James is doing so much to promote. And I'm just glad to share a few moments with all of you right now to see how we can accelerate your food revolution.
Awesome. So one of the things that I might start on, Ocean, if that's okay, is that over the years that we've been doing Food Matters and, you know, doing events and films, and that you've been doing Food Revolution Summit, which is 8 years this year, absolutely stunning. One of the key topics that always comes up for us again and again is weight loss, detoxification, people struggling with obesity or holding on to extra pounds. What is coming up for you in the latest research? Because you've got, you know, this year and every year you communicate with some of the best leaders in the world on these topics. What are some of the latest things that are showing up around weight loss and diabetes and obesity, this sort of
you know, combination of illnesses, which is being called, you know, diabesity these days.
Right. Well, here's what is fascinating, James. You know, if all that was needed was we need to know that we need to eat less sugar and processed junk and more vegetables, we would not have an obesity epidemic in America right now, because everyone knows that we need to eat less chemicals and less sugar and less crap. I mean, 95% of the American public says they try to eat healthier foods at least some of the time. But the reality is that, unfortunately, knowledge isn't enough. The biggest gap is not just knowing what to do, but also doing what we know. Now, a lot of us are genuinely confused. We are beset by, you know, every which fad and opinion. And, you know, there's the old saying, you know, a man with one watch knows what time it is, but a man with two watches is never quite sure. And so definitely there's a lot of confusion, but a lot of people are not the author of their own food lives. And if you've ever been on the wrong end of an empty bag of potato chips or an empty package of cookies, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you feel like you're obsessed about food. You're feeling compelled towards foods. You're loving foods that are not loving you back. It's kind of like an abusive relationship. And a lot of us are sucked into it. And so what I find fascinating is how do we reclaim authorship over our food lives so that we can really love and be drawn to and even crave the foods that are good for us? What would it be like if you craved broccoli? You know, if at the end of a long day at work, you're burnt out, you're tired, you just want to curl up on the couch and you grab a steamed pot of kale, you know, instead of grabbing the Doritos. And yet a lot of us have learned to find comfort and nourishment and solace in foods that actually make our problems worse. And so the research is showing that one of the cornerstones of that is sugar and flour, actually. That sugar and flour both hit the bloodstream really fast and they trigger a dopamine reaction in the brain that says, ooh, that was good, I want more. And so, I mean, there are lots of other things that are more dangerous in terms of cancer or heart disease or whatever, arguably, but sugar and flour in particular can hit that addictive cycle in the brain. And so, one of the things, then in the Food Revolution Summit, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Susan Pierce Thompson, who has developed the number one most effective program I've ever heard of for actually helping people break out of this cycle. Her average graduates lose about 15 pounds within the first year. She's helped people release, you know, over 500,000 pounds in the last few years and keep them off long term. And the cornerstone of her research is getting off of the sugar and flour and developing bright lines around that. Now, not everybody has to eat no sugar or flour, but you have to understand how susceptible you are to food addiction. And if you're somebody who finds yourself craving foods, who feels like you're not really in charge of what you're eating, then you may be somebody who needs to break free from that cycle by drawing a sharp line. You know, an alcoholic can't have just one drink. They've got to go cold turkey, so to speak. And similarly with certain food products. And the same could be true of chemical additives, flavorings, preservatives. You know, there are over 2,000 chemicals in our food supply right now. Most of them have never been tested for their long-term impact on human beings. So going cold turkey and drawing sharp lines can help us to get free. And at the end of the day, that's what I want for you, is to be free so you can make the choices that are in your best interest instead of feeling like you are compelled by addiction or, frankly, by a toxic food industry to normalize things that are ultimately going to bring you sickness.
Yeah, wow. That's really profound. And I think, you know, how you sort of centered that down on flour and sugar being the primary impetus for this obesity and diabetes epidemic.
Yeah.
Really, there's really strong evidence on that now. But there's so many cookies and there's so many pastries
down there are.
And they're very addictive. They've got this addictive component to it. And because, like you said, they light up these parts of the brain that cause addiction.
Yeah.
So really, really great that you're bringing that to light. One of the other things that I know that you've spoken about in previous years at the Food Revolution Summit, and you may be touching on this year, I'm not sure, is about how they spray a lot of the crops with glycophosphate, especially the wheat crops, to dry them out just before they harvest them. So
we're not
sure how much of the toxins are transferring over to the finished wheat product. Are you going to be talking about that this year again?
We sure will. And this is a big topic, you know, because GMOs have gotten a fair bit of exposure. And, you know, most people know that GMO doesn't mean God move over. It means genetically modified organism. And that the GMOs in our food supply have been primarily engineered not to feed the hungry, not to create more drought resistance, not to create lower pesticide consumption or better flavor or nutrition. We've been promised all that. It's all a lie. What they have been engineered for is either to produce the insecticide BT in every cell of the plant or to be resistant to herbicides, which not coincidentally are also manufactured and sold by the same companies that sell the patented seeds. So Monsanto, now Bayer, sells Roundup, and they produce Roundup ready seeds. And then you can spray the Roundup on there, and glyphosate, which is the main active ingredient in Roundup, gets on the crop. So now humans are eating crops that were sprayed with weed killer. Glyphosate turns out to be an endocrine disruptor, a probable carcinogen, and a known antibiotic. It's been patented as an antibiotic. So it can actually disrupt the bacteria in your digestive tract. Now, here's the thing. Up until recently, most folks thought that if they avoided the GMO crops, which are mainly corn, soy, canola, cotton, which shows up in cottonseed oil, and sugar beets, which are about half the sugar supply right now comes from GMO sugar beets, then they were in the clear. They weren't going to be exposed to this. But what's happened is that now wheat farmers, oat farmers, some legume farmers are, when they're not growing organically, they're spraying with glyphosate to help dry out the crop. It's a desiccant that dries it out before harvest. And because it's sprayed right before harvest, there's actually quite a bit of residue. So Environmental Working Group tested a bunch of oat breakfast cereals, and they found that these oat breakfast cereals all were contaminated with dangerous levels of glyphosate. So what's happened is that it's now the case that if you want to avoid glyphosate, you don't have just have to avoid GMOs. You really have to kind of go organic, at least with your cereal crops. And wheat and oats seem to be the big two on that. And so if you are going to eat wheat, and I know there's a lot of controversy about gluten and all that, you want to go organic if you possibly can.
Fantastic advice. You know, one of the things you touched on there just briefly was the glyphosate, which is the Roundup. And, you know, it's under heavy fire at the moment, you know, where there's a few cases, you know, linking it potentially to cancer. I know that cancer is always a topic that you talk about in the Food Revolution Summit. And like I said, this being your eighth year, incredible, guys, just like high-fiving you for that effort. You know, it's a Food Revolution Summit. You hold it free every year, and I just think that's awesome. But 8 years just is such a commitment to the revolution. I hope that, you know, even in your old age, you could maybe pass the torch to somebody else to keep it going.
But I hope it goes on forever, or that we don't need it. I'd love to work ourselves out of a job because everyone's got healthy food. unfortunately, we've got a little ways to go before we get there. Thank you, James. This summit is the place to get the cutting edge latest information. And, you know, whether it's glyphosate or fighting cancer or the science of habit change and food addiction, you know, this is the place where we're going to have the top experts on the planet to share what they've discovered.
Tell us about cancer. What are you talking about this year? What are the latest topics? Are you focusing more on foods to prevent cancer or on chemicals that are linked to cancer that are just being discovered? What's the focus?
Well, there's all of that. And just to give a little context, you know, a lot of people think that cancer is a result of genetics. And obviously genetics play a part. But the latest research says that only 5 to 10% of cancer cases are caused by genetics. 90 to 95% are caused by a combination of diet, lifestyle, and environment. So let's just break that down really quick. When we say diet, we're talking about the standard American diet. We're talking about a diet high in sugar, processed junk, and animal products. When you move towards a more whole plant food-based diet and you saturate your body with antioxidants and phytonutrients that mostly come from vegetables, then you set yourself up with an anti-cancer diet. And that probably is about a third of it right there. And then when we talk about lifestyle, we really mean two things. I mean, don't smoke and get lots of exercise. So move your butt. And, you know, probably most of the people watching right now may not be smoking, but it can never be said too often because cigarettes are still causing millions of deaths every year. And then when we talk about environment, we're talking about things, some of which are very much in our control. We're not just talking about things that are out there, but we're also, I mean, some of it is things like what household cleaners do you use? Do you put your food in plastic when you put it in the fridge, or do you use glass? You know, do you have safe drinking water, or is it contaminated either with chlorine or with other toxins that might be in the water supply? If you have a home water filter, that can make a big difference. What kind of air are you breathing? Do you have an air filter? Do you have fresh air? Are you able to open the windows and have good air come inside? Is your outside air better or your inside air better? Some people live in really toxic cities and they want to keep the air windows closed. But for a lot of us, our indoor home environment is polluted with all kinds of toxins, outgassing, plastics, and so forth. So when we look at cancer, we realize that a lot of the environmental factors are in our control. our lifestyle choices are in our control, and certainly what we put in our mouths is in our control, which means we could probably eliminate 3/4 or more of our cancer cases just by making the choices that are in our command. And for example, let's just talk breast cancer for a second. There was a recent study conducted by researchers at University of Western Australia. They found that 2,000 women tracked over 8 years, those who consumed about 1/4 ounce of mushrooms per day had a 64% drop in breast cancer risk. 64%. Now, when those same women also drank green tea daily, they dropped their risk by 89%. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if there was some new drug that came out that dropped your breast cancer risk by 89%, how many billions of dollars would be made off of selling it? Mm-hmm. But here we have it. We've got mushrooms and green tea. And, you know, hardly anyone even knows about the study. But in the Food Revolution Summit, we're going to be talking about these studies and about the foods that have been proven to make a huge impact. You know, cooked tomato products and prostate cancer for men, breast cancer and you know, greens. And, you know, the beautiful thing is these things compound. So when you eat mushrooms and you eat greens and you don't have a toxic environment and you get plenty of fiber and you drink green tea, then suddenly you are just, you're setting yourself up to be virtually heart attack proof. You're setting yourself up to have an optimal chance, not just to add years to your life, but also life to your years. And this is one of the big themes we're going to focus on in this year's summit that I think is so exciting, is how do we thrive? Because no one wants to follow us if we get everything right, but we're cranky and burnt out and miserable and stressed about food. You know, I think a person who, you know, eats, you know, beer and Franks with cheer and thanks is probably going to be healthier than a person who, you know, eats their sprouts and broccoli, you know, with doubts. And I can't think of a good rhyme for broccoli, but, you know, you get the point.
Absolutely. I mean, Laurentine, my wife, her grandmother lived till 103. And I think there's some, you know, she passed away recently. She lived at home by herself until about 101, I think.
Yeah.
You know, incredible lady, incredible woman, but had a very profoundly positive outlook on life. She would pray each morning. She was so grateful for the opportunity to exist. You know, she'd have a little shot of brandy or something in her tea in the afternoon. She would drink a lot of tea and herbal teas. That was really beautiful. But her diet was, you know, pretty average. But the mindset was powerful, you know. And I think that's a really important a point that you make, is that, you know, mindset can have such a powerful impact on your health. And you see those people who can thrive with a mindset that's positive, even though their diet might not be that excellent. One thing that I just noticed when you talked about this mushroom study, because we've sort of spoken about this in private before and had a few conversations, you know, to me that correlates directly to the Japanese type diet. You think about the Japanese people, they drink green tea. Mushrooms are a big part of their diet, either dried or in soups, and that, and they have very low cancer risks.
In Food Matters,
our documentary, we talk about the study where they took Japanese women and they emigrated to America and they changed their diet and lifestyle to that of the American way. And they started to develop the same risks of cancer as the American people, but far more than the Japanese people. So it really speaks to this research is all sort of coming together and supporting each other.
It's so true and it's so important. And we can actually track different ethnic groups when they eat different ways. And that's part of how you realize that the myth that, you know, Japanese people have better genes, for example, it's a complete myth, you know. But I directed a nonprofit for 20 years and I worked with leaders in over 65 countries. And as I traveled the globe, I saw that everybody eats. And I saw that the American way of eating and producing food with McDonald's, KFC, Baskin Robbins, and also the American way of growing food with Monsanto, Bayer, pesticides, herbicides, factory farms. These were spreading around the globe. And with them, you know, waistlines were expanding and hospitals were filling up and people were getting sick with diseases that had been unheard of, you know, a generation earlier. And as I saw that, I said, oh my gosh, and I ended up deciding to focus on food directly, which is why I launched the first Food Revolution Summit with my dad and colleague, John Robbins, in 2012. And since then, we've just been growing and going and, you know, reaching more and more people. This year, we're going to have over 350,000 people in this summit. It'll be the largest food summit in history. And, you know, our commitment is healthy, ethical, sustainable food for all, and to bring the most leading edge insights to you so you don't have to be another statistic. so you can have this insight and put it into action and to get results. Because at the end of the day, you know, cancer doesn't care a heck of a lot how many Facebook lives you attend or how many books you read or how many summits you go to, but it does care what you eat and how you live. And so the whole point to me is about getting people results. So you don't have to suffer from the diseases that we know how to prevent. Mm. And that's the really wonderful news, I think. There are so many problems in this world that feel unconfrontable, overwhelming. And, you know, we look at things like climate change or war and peace or government policies, and we're like, what can I do? I'm not even a drop in the bucket. I'm a drop in the freaking ocean, right? Yeah. And then we look at food and we say, oh my goodness, this is a place where you can really have choice and authorship and make a difference, you know, for your own life. You can make a difference. Like, it totally matters. You can literally shift the course of your destiny by eating the right foods. And then it also matters in terms of the planet, in terms of the world that we contribute to. You know, it matters to me how food was grown, whether it was produced by farmers and farm workers who were paid enough to feed their own families, or whether it was produced with child labor by farmers who had to put their kids in the fields in order to stay afloat because they couldn't keep a roof over their family's head otherwise, while their kids are carrying 50-pound sacks on their backs and getting exposed to pesticides every day that are going to stunt their brain development. It matters to me whether animals were tortured in factory farms and whether chickens had the ability to lift their wings up, or whether cows ever ate a blade of grass in their lives. Like, you know, even independent of how food affects my health, I care about people and animals and the world. And I do not want my life to be a contribution to torture and murder. I want it to be a contribution to health and vitality and beauty for the world. And the beautiful thing about the food revolution is every bite you take is a vote for the health you want and the world you want. And so Food Revolution Summit is actually looking at the personal side of food and also the political side of food, because, you know, we're so much more powerful than we realize, and we really can make a better world for everybody. Whole foods shouldn't take your whole paycheck. They shouldn't take your whole day. We've got to make this accessible, affordable, and doable for everybody. And you can be a part of that. And I'll show you how in this summit.
That's awesome, Ocean. So, so great. You know, it's such an inspirational event that you're putting together. And it's probably only one or two more things if we could touch on before I finish this call, because I think they're really pertinent in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke about Laurentine's grandmother. You know, she survived to 103, incredible woman. But unfortunately, her father passed away at a very young age in his early 70s because of dementia and Alzheimer's. It was mainly dementia. And it was, you know, set on really rapidly. And he deteriorated very fast. I know that you do talk a lot about Alzheimer's and dementia in the summit. What's coming up for you on this topic at the moment?
Well, here again, the prevailing belief system on Alzheimer's and dementia is that it's a death sentence and that it's primarily determined by genes. And as with cancer, what we're learning is that there are powerful steps you can take that make a huge difference. For example, Rush University researchers analyzed elderly people for about 20 years, thousands of them, and they looked at what they ate and how they lived and what kind of health outcomes they had. And they analyzed the data from a lot of different angles. They ended up concluding that the people who ate multiple servings of greens per day, green leafy vegetables, had 11 more years of healthy brain function.
Oh, wow.
11 years. And blueberries, by the way, got them about 2.5 more years. So presumably people who ate greens and blueberries had 13.5 more years. So when you think about all the people who are getting Alzheimer's at 70 or 75 or 80, what would they give to get it at 85 or 90 or 95? You know, to push that back by 15 years. And just by eating the right foods, that kind of thing becomes possible. And, you know, my own grandma died of Alzheimer's, and, you know, I'll never forget visiting her, and she couldn't remember my name. And I thought, you know, what I would give to be able to have had this information now and that I have now, and give it to her and have her listen to me, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, what might have happened? Maybe my grandma would still be alive today. And certainly she would have had perhaps a much happier ending to her life. So I think that this is powerful. And what we're learning with Alzheimer's and dementia is that the foundations for it actually are laid 20 or 30 years, sometimes more, before symptoms appear. So wherever you are in your life, the odds are it's a pretty darn good time to put what we're learning into action. And in the summit, we're going to talk about the specific things you can do. And by the way, there is some breakthrough research showing that it might actually be to some extent reversible. Now, this is small scale. We don't have big studies, but we have seen studies showing that people who implement certain diet and lifestyle choices, which we will talk about in the summit, can actually, in some cases, lower their symptoms with even people who've already been diagnosed. And that's pretty groundbreaking. It's not what the medical establishment recognizes yet, but we are seeing it. And I'm cautious. I don't want to, you know, be overselling this, but I think that there's hope for even for people who actually have Alzheimer's.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that if food can help prevent disease, then can we extend that into this sort of treatment ideology? And I think that there's a lot of a lot more science still to emerge for that, but I think that it's positive what we're seeing already. Last thing I want to touch on, Ocean, today, because we've already covered so much and you've given so much information, thank you, is around anti-aging and longevity. You know, there's a lot of people now, especially in this biohacking space, and like, I'm going to live to 120 and I'm going to increase the length of my telomeres and do all these sort of things.
Right, right.
Can we make it that far? Do you think the human species has the capability to push those sort of longevity markers? Or you know, are we destined to our 80 to 100 years sort of window that we're mostly sort of keeling over at that stage at the moment? what do you think?
Well, I intend to find out. you know, I think that we can do a lot better than we think is normal. We know that the Okinawans, for example, the elder Okinawans traditionally outlive the average American by 8 to 10 years. And that's just normal. And that's not because they have special genes. That's just because they live differently. And we also know that their diet is probably not optimal. And their lifestyle is probably not optimal, though it's a heck of a lot better than what we think is normal in the United States. So clearly we can go further and do better than we are. Now, whether we can get to 120 and thrive, you know, I mean, obviously with medical miracles, people can be kept alive, you know, on life support for long periods of time. I don't think any of us are looking for that, you know. No. I'm interested in how long we can thrive, you know, how and what we see in the blue zones, the places where people traditionally live the longest and healthiest lives in the world, which Dan Buettner documented for National Geographic, what we see in these regions is that people live longer, but they also live better. Like they're working and vibrant and contributing members of society right up to the end. And then they have a sudden dramatic curve right at the end where their death is a few months rather than a decade. And a lot of us in the modern industrialized world, we're kind of dying for 10 or 20 years. And it's a slow trickle of life dripping away. And so I'm interested in, you know, having a life that I love to live to the very end of my days. That's my biggest priority and goal. And then within that context, I'd love to have as many days as possible. And yeah, I believe that we could, you know, probably be averaging 90 or even 100 with vibrant, thriving health if we really apply all that we know. But there are factors that are beyond our control. Nothing is a magic bullet that will guarantee to insulate you against all harm. The question is, and I think this comes to all of us in life, life's always going to bring some suffering and some hardship. The question is, what are we going to do with what we've got? You don't get to choose what happens to you, but you do get to choose how you respond and the choices that you make. And so wherever we have power, wherever we have choice, I think we want to do the best we can to put it into action so we can get the results we want. And the results I want are health and vitality and thriving and to be able to share this with as many people as possible, which obviously is why we're here and why we're hosting this Food Revolution Summit. And by the way, I'll say one other really special thing about the summit is that my dad and colleague, John Robbins, is conducting all the interviews in this summit, and he's 71. So speaking of aging and what's possible, he and I work out at the gym together and he kicks my butt. And, you know, there are things he's doing there that people in their 20s who are really fit cannot do. You know, I mean, dead hang chin-ups and, you know, and you know, bench pressing his own weight and all kinds of stuff. You know, this is a strong guy and he's showing what's possible and he dances and he's vibrant and he smiles with the smile that lights up the world. And, you know, he's demonstrating, I think, that you can really, really thrive, you know, right through life. And, you know, so I want to just bring that out and show that example. He's a little modest to talk about it personally. He's mostly in the hosting role, but this is a guy who walks and runs and dances his talk, and it seems to be working.
That's so awesome. It was such a pleasure to interview him for our most recent documentary series, Transcendence. He's just a shining beacon of hope for the world and someone who really stood up for what he believes in, and together you guys are making a massive difference. Last thing, Ocean, there's 26 doctors, I believe, or people in this summit, maybe plus or minus. I'm not sure where your final number landed. whenever I film a documentary or a project from Food Matters to Hungry for Change or Transcendence, there's always three or four or five that really stick out as like, whoa, that's just, that's going to make the whole thing.
Right.
Who are your top picks this year?
Oh, my goodness.
We're not betting on them or anything. You know, just top picks. This isn't a horse race.
I'll tell you who I think you should take a look for that you may not have heard of before is Christy Funk. She wrote Breasts, an Owner's Manual.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a breast cancer surgeon from Southern California. And she is brilliant and scintillating. And if you have breasts, and this is men as well as women, then you want to hear what she's got to say, because it's absolutely spot on brilliant. Also, keep an eye out for Dr. Michael Clapper. He is just absolutely so on fire. He's been helping patients his whole life for 50 years, and he's just decided to take a show on the road, so to speak, and speak full time instead of seeing patients all day. He's in his 70s, and he's on a mission. He wants to transform medicine, and he wants to empower all of us. And so Dr. Clapper is brilliant, and Dr. Dean Ornish is also pretty exciting. He's, you know, the one of the foremost wellness pioneers. He's the first person to ever document that you can not only prevent, but actually reverse heart disease with diet and lifestyle. The first lifestyle-based approach to heart disease treatment to ever be covered by Medicare and the big insurance companies is the Ornish program. He's proven it. It's the only program that's actually been proven to prevent and reverse heart disease. And he's onto some cutting edge new insights. I will tell you that. He's got a brand new book out. And what he's showing is that the same lifestyle approach that works with heart disease also has been proven to work with prostate cancer and a host of other ailments. So keep an ear out for all of those. They're all on day one of Food Revolution Summit. We start on April 27th. Sign on up. I want to see you there. I want to invite you to join in the revolution with us. And let's change this world together.
Ocean, you're a champion. You're a scholar. You're a passionate voice for this message. And also a voice for the voiceless, like you talked about earlier, the animals that are suffering unnecessarily. And we're really moving, I think, towards a positive era where there's a lot more consciousness emerging around the food landscape and people making healthier choices. I just want to commend you and your father for the incredible work that you're doing. I'll be tuning in. I look forward to all of our community coming along as well to the 2019 Food Revolution Summit, and have a great day. Thank you so much, Ocean. Great to speak with you.
Thank you, James. And everybody watching, thank you for being part of the Food Matters community. This is your one-stop shop for getting the latest insights and wisdom and support to implement your healthy lifestyle. And I just love what James and Laurentine and the whole tribe are doing. So thanks for being a part of it. And thanks for joining in this Food Revolution Summit with us.
Thanks, Ocean. Have an awesome day.
You too.
Hi, it's James here, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. And now it's time for my quirky quote or fact of the day. And I want to talk to you about resentment. And it's something that I've learned a little bit about in an interview that I've just recently conducted with a friend, Ira Israel. And Ira went through a really challenging car crash in his younger years, and it caused, you know, a scar on his face and, you know, broke his femur, and it nearly caused him to die. But he lived, and he had to go through the process of resenting that situation, resenting the driver and everything that meant to him. And he had to go through this process of studying philosophy and Buddhism and meditation, and eventually becoming a psychotherapist and really going through this whole process, and got to the point of realizing that in order to move forward and to not keep giving power to something that happened in the past that caused him to be depressed and upset, was to make peace with that and to forgive the driver, to forgive the person that was ultimately at the wheel when this happened, nearly causing his death and disfiguring him for life. And he ultimately mustered the courage to do this and to forgive the driver and to make amends with that person. And since then, he's been able to move forward in a positive way and put that behind him and create a lot more peace and happiness in his life. And now, thankfully, he teaches a lot of people about this process and how they can move beyond the resentments of their childhood or trauma that they've been through in order to be able to be fully present, more happy and more fulfilled. Because ultimately, as he says, we are not winning the game of happiness in the Western developed world. We're actually far behind in terms of these metrics in order to be able to reframe your experience of life using this opportunity to forgive what has been and to not worry about the past and the future or the past, gives us a new opportunity to see the joy that is abounding us in every around us and abounds us in every moment. So it was a really profound interview, and I hope to bring that to you soon on the podcast. But some incredible insight in terms of the power of forgiveness and compassion towards others and how that can really change your life and the lives of the people that you get to touch. I hope you enjoyed this quirky quote, fact, rambling of the day, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Ciao for now.